Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast. It's episode 50.
Ooh.
And do you know why 50 is a special number? Because it's the same age as Gareth.
Oh, for Jesus, Gina.
Apart from that, it's actually a special episode because we've not got the little chief, aka the little chef, aka the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit newsletter and podcast, aka James, because he's on a gondola in Venice as we speak.
Has he got a new job?
He's up on holiday, so he's left the podcast in our capable hands. So I'll still be hosting, but I'm going to bring a story. But we've got Gareth back, who I keep being mean to for some reason.
You've been really mean. And just for the listeners, I'm not 50 years old, but thanks very much, Gina.
We've also got the Asian invasion. I don't know if we're allowed to put that in.
I'm also Asian.
Chris and our growth manager for Zach. And Alicia, the account director, of course, Zach and High Stakes. How are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, really good. Really good. Some good news for both agencies. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty hungover, so if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, wow. Gareth, why are you hungover?
Yeah, why are you hungover?
Turns out we won 3 awards last night.
Oh, yes.
3 is the magic number, so it's
sad. Oh my God. So for the listeners, yeah, I was sitting there whistling, 3, it's the magic number. And Alicia from America was like, what's that song? Never heard of it. Like, what the actual...
Anyway, so young.
Back to the more important news.
But I was going to say, if listeners haven't heard it, I'm about to play it.
Everyone's dancing, everyone vibes.
Vibes.
Leech is like, what the fuck is this shit?
So everyone's in good spirits because we did win 3 awards. High Stakes Films.
Production Company of the Year, yo.
MEA 2023.
And of course, you know, we all work across it, but Gina does new business. So would you like to take a lot of credit for that?
Not too much. I'd probably say that's for the people
50
that...
to 60% credit,
maybe. Like 70%.
Yeah. We won Best Campaign for G-Shock, which was really cool because it was a great campaign. And we won Best Branded Documentary for MITRE, which is a really, really cool documentary. We should post these. Have we posted them yet on LinkedIn? New business team?
We're all over it.
Get at us.
Wow,
this
the
is
new
what I
business
mean to
team
you.
Are pretty tetchy.
We're on it. Don't worry, we're on it. So on to the actual topic of the podcast. Who should we start with? Gareth?
All right, well listen, I've got this story here because I freaking love space. And there's so much good freaking space shit happening non-stop. Did everyone see Elon Musk's rocket the other week that exploded? They spun it, didn't they? Because it was like, oh yeah, no. The whole thing was just to get off the ground. But those are the rockets that they'll be using to get to Mars, obviously.
So much trust in them now.
Yeah, I know. Like, right, who's going first?
We'll stick James on it. Like, you know when they sent a monkey into space?
And we saw Richard Branson go into space. We saw Jeff Bezos go into space. But by 2025, you should be able, as a space tourist, to go into space on board a luxurious Celeste capsule by... Is that the Halto?
Zefalto.
He's dyslexic. If anyone wondered why he couldn't say that.
Who Zefalto is? It's a hot air balloon that is going to lift you just above the Earth's atmosphere. But as I know a lot about space, let me just explain that to you. That means you're technically still in orbit of Earth and very much just teetering on the atmosphere's edge. But we have light pollution. So the stars that we see when we see them in the night are nowhere near the extent of when you rise above the atmosphere, and you will be able to see deep into space like you've never, ever been able to before.
I can imagine that's absolutely gorgeous. Are you covered? Were you in an open air balloon?
No, you're in a capsule. Oh, it's a bit windy up here.
That's what's confusing me. So you're higher than a plane.
You're higher, but look, here's a picture.
So it looks like, you know, the pods on the London Eye.
It looks like a London Eye pod, doesn't
you're
it?
You're floating up in one of those. Yeah.
It's London Eye for space.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I doubt that's going to be ready for 2025. No. They haven't tested it yet, as in, like, we haven't seen people go up in it. So in less than a year, they're going to have that ready, safe, and sending up paying customers. I mean, I would love to have that experience, but I wouldn't like to be the first person to try it out.
No.
With a light, yeah. It's all right. We've been going for 6 months.
In space.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is the company called Zefalto?
I believe so.
And
yeah.
Is there a price point for this?
So it's a luxury package.
Of course.
They have been testing it, but there's been no human test on it yet. And I can't see a price. No. I should imagine it's expensive.
Very expensive.
If you have to ask how much it is, then. Yeah.
It's going to be tens of thousands of pounds,
right? These space things are only for rich people at this point.
But we need people to get up there because it will bring the price down once it comes pretty regular.
Chris, get up
there. Alicia, have you got a point to make?
I will volunteer a sacrifice. Happily.
On the website, it looks like it's 10,000 euro.
That's
not bad. That's not too bad.
Whoa.
I would be willing to take a loan out.
Hold on a second. Sorry, I've misread that. So to be part of the first travelers and pre-book your place for 2025, it's 10,000 euros. The total price of the trip per person, 120,000.
Oh,
Is that still, you still keen?
Yeah, no, I ain't selling my house.
Yeah.
Right, Nikki, I've got a plan. Do you think that in our lifetimes, we around this table will have the opportunity to have a price point where it's easy enough for us to do a bit of space tourism?
It would be disappointing if we can't.
You're right.
I 100% want to experience that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I personally can't think of anything cooler than going up into fucking space.
Apart from flotation tanks.
Oh my god, Gina.
Okay,
did you just compare
going into space
with a flotation
tank?
Hang
on a minute. Maybe that's a new thing, a flotation tank up in space.
I don't think you need to dress up space like how do we make space a little bit more exciting? But it's a really good point because I hope that it is affordable because I do really want to go to space in my lifetime.
I think it's probably doable for us. But
as Gina says, I am probably 64, right?
Yeah.
When I said I wasn't 50, I actually meant I was older. No.
There's always talk about these opportunities and nothing ever actually happened.
Well, no, it's happening pretty fast at the moment.
A few people have gone up to space, right? Like celebs, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
like
Jeff Bezos.
Richard Branson.
And they had like a couple of people with them as well. We don't know who they was.
But do they go to the same degree of space or
I think it's all different. But they are just in and around the atmosphere. No one has yet.
But
then
that's technically space.
Yeah, right.
By definition.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say
you're going to see space.
They've gone
from
to space, but really, they're on like the ozone layer, really.
Right, exactly. Exactly that, yeah. But I mean, yeah, I'm keen. Alicia, do you give a fuck about space? You're like, no, I like jewelry and I like margaritas.
I mean, that's a solid comment.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gina can attest to that. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the first. I think maybe some, like, you know.
Can we always stop saying the first? The first people have already done it.
Maybe sorry, in this room.
The first in this room.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it'd be something that I get around to, but
oh, God, you'd put it into a calendar, like, okay, so we're going out for a brunch
places.
With the girls. We're going to take a quick, go in that hot air balloon experience.
Yeah,
see space,
brunch,
yeah, like, whatever,
like,
get
in
back.
Space is the vibe. Yeah, I think there's definitely more places on Earth that I would like to go to before
that's
I then go.
That's interesting, yeah. I guess it's not for everyone, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not bust on it, really.
Really?
I like the sky from here, from Earth. Okay. I'm not bust on going really, really high.
Can I ask you, what are the places on Earth you would go to over space?
Like the Maldives?
I almost knew that it was going to be that or Bali. I knew it was going to be one of them. That's a fair answer, though.
Yeah.
What are you going to do once you're up there? Just look.
I mean, like, my soul is hurting that you would go to
the
Maldives more than
only,
space.
Sorry, it's about a three-hour trip, I think it said. You'd get some food and stuff, but, like, is there a toilet? What if you have to go to the bathroom?
Just poo out in the atmosphere. Floats around.
Yeah, they'll have a hole.
Yeah. sorry, guys, that was mine.
So, this week, I want to talk about a DIY AI project.
Okay.
So it is a DIY.
This isn't you in your like spare bedroom.
Is it about you?
So a DIY GPT powered monocle that will tell you what to say in conversations.
Okay.
So there's this Stanford student called Brian Chang. So he's a developer and he's basically combined like a chat GPT, an open AI creative speech recognition system, and an AR monocle.
Right, so, you wear it.
Like, you know, like Google glasses.
Yeah, right.
It's one singular monocle.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you're worried about what you're going to say, but you're going to look like an absolute dickhead because you're wearing a monocle all the time.
That's when you need the help.
So he's called it RizGBT. RizGBT.
Okay.
Riz is like quite a popular word at the moment. As in Riz, yeah?
Is there some street lingo?
Yeah, it's some street lingo.
What do you mean?
Say if a guy has... It's almost like a slang term for being like charming and be able to flirt.
Okay.
So that person's got like Riz.
All right, okay.
I can't remember what it's
I'm full of Riz.
All right, Gary.
Oh, I like the pause there.
It's short for charisma.
There we go. Okay. Carry on, please.
So RizGBT, basically, if you're having a conversation...
Yeah, with the monocle on.
Am I imagining, can I just dig into this?
I'm going to use RizGPT because I'm not quite confident enough with my conversational prowess. So I'm now going to go on this date. This is going to make this date a lot better because now I know what to say. And I'm going to turn up wearing a fucking monocle.
Yeah, wearing the least cool type of
Maybe they're in.
Maybe that's why he's designed
it
like that.
I don't think they're in. Maybe good for
phone calls, maybe.
Well, I'm reading an article, Chris, and it says it's more of an exploration of AI meets AR.
Yeah, so say we're having a conversation. You are asking me questions, and the AI will tell me through my monocle, which only I can see, how to answer that question back.
And the AR part is the actual thing on your face that you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
Not great for dyslexics, because I'm going to read it wrong. You really are an angle. Sorry, Angel.
How's it going to know? Like, it's not going to understand, like, tone and things like that. So in the real world, if it tells you a line to say to someone, to chat them up...
I mean, have you actually been on ChatGPT?
No, I haven't. You know what? I haven't. Yeah, it's all
yeah.
I hear about.
It's pretty good. Is it pretty good? Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good.
There's no issues there in terms of, like, nuances and stuff.
Well, no, of course. There will be, in terms of nuances, for a person like myself, and, of course, someone with a load of riz like you.
Thanks, Gary.
But maybe for just the more basic normos, yeah, I think you could probably fill the gaps.
Basic normal. So do you think their target audience is? Do you think he's quite uncool? And he thought, I personally need help, so let me help all the other kind of geeky
people. I think there's a generation of people that are really anxious about talking, right? That's a real thing.
We've got all these cool technologies, and yeah, what happens if you just bastardise them together and create something which, you know, this is very like early days of AI-powered glasses, which I think that is the direction of what he's trying to achieve.
But specifically for being charismatic and having
certain types of conversations. I don't know if it's purely based. I think it is purely based on dating.
From what I've read, which is kind of, again, weird. It's always these kind of like geeky boys trying to make these techie things to help them.
But I mean, this got to be the height of unsexy, isn't it? Like, number one, let's forget about the fucking monocle,
the monocle
for just
ridiculous.
1 second. But like, if you turned up for a date and someone is, you know, being assisted in their conversation by a fucking piece of technology, AI, something not real, it's not really going to win over your date, is it?
Well, I mean, it could get you to like a certain point, but obviously, yeah, but it's fake. it can't be forever, right?
I feel like...
I would feel cheated if I realized
I feel like
a
moral
someone
issue
who
with
was,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a moral
but
issue
then,
with
what,
it.
What's the difference between that and me sending screenshots to all my group chats saying, what should I reply to this boy?
Okay, you're crowdsourcing.
They're all coming up with answers for me, you know what I mean? So I guess it's kind of a
Yeah, well, again, Gina, you are just one big fucking moral issue.
I agree. I should put that in my Hinge bio.
I don't know. I mean, it might develop into something bigger than just the monocle. Could be full.
It is like Black Mirror vibes though, isn't it?
Well, there was an episode of Black Mirror, White Christmas, which is my favourite episode, where like John Hamm plays a guy that sort of like helps people out on dates. So I think it's for them, like they can see everything that he's seeing. And he's got an earpiece.
So that's through like an earpiece,
yeah,
right?
So it's kind of like both, but then like you can see it and then like he has people watching and actually crowdsourcing sort of like answers and stuff as well while he's going on the date. And then it goes horribly wrong, as most Black Mirror episodes.
And then so much stuff we're seeing, especially, again, always bringing up AI on the podcast, we'll always say, oh, this sounds like a Black Mirror episode, or I swear something like this happened in Black Mirror. All the warnings, and we've ignored them.
I mean, this screen is Black Mirror tech.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think this is ever going to work or take off. A fucking monocle. Do I need to say it again?
He doesn't even care about the AI. You're just concerned about the monocle.
I think it's a very real thing.
What if it were glasses? Like
I just think it's a very real thing that's going to happen
in the future.
He
loves Ray-Bans as well.
We are going to have things that are going to help us assist us talking.
Yeah.
And that there will be these things available to us. I just don't think this kid in his bedroom with his grey... Look, hear me out. It's a monocle. It's going to be the one that's going to break
I don't know why he's chosen a monocle as well as the vehicle for this.
Yeah.
But again, we'll see. Maybe someone in the office will be walking around with a monocle and we will know why. Alicia.
So this is sort of like anti-tech, which I think is an interesting concept.
Okay, cool.
We've come so far, and now I think people are starting to like look backwards a little bit and like, maybe we've gone too far. So this is basically just an article about how automakers are starting to admit that drivers hate touchscreens and want to start bringing back sort of physical buttons and things like that. It resonated with me because I was sitting in the front seat of a car. It was like a new Volvo or something recently. And I was amazed by like how the entire thing was basically...
We were on a shoot recently, weren't we?
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah. That was amazing.
It was amazing, but like, I don't understand how anyone could sort of pay attention to that and onto the road. And it sounds like a lot of drivers are also saying that actually, we appreciate the technology, but we do sort of miss that sort of old school, like physical buttons and things like that.
So for the reference of what we were talking about there, we were in a Volvo and both me and Alicia were like, oh my God!
The future.
And like, Rob, who's driving, is like, yeah, calm down. I've been doing this for years. You know how you get parking assist, right? You get a bird's eye view.
Oh, that was crazy though.
You get a bird's eye view of where you're at. I'm like, whoa, how's it doing? Have we got a personal drone flying over us at all times? But it's wide angle. So basically it shoots in super wide angle. The car that you're seeing is not real. It's just a CG car and it's sort of stitching it together. But yeah, interesting.
But I mean, I think we were saying though, like even with something like that, it's still, that actually almost like teaches you a bad lesson because then you're not actually looking around you. You're just looking at the technology. So something like this, again, is bringing it back to like how things used to be. And, you know, so now instead of, you know, like with the Teslas and stuff, which are basically
I love Teslas. You just have one big massive iPad, basically. Yeah. To me, that seems neater than having loads of buttons.
It's neater, but when you're driving, I think it can be really distracting because all of a sudden now you need to go, okay, well, I need to change the air con, so I need to press this menu and this menu and this menu.
Okay, so you have to look at it. That's the
difference. That's the problem. Yeah. So I think people are realizing that it can be a bit of a distraction. If you're just sat in the front seat or, you know, the passenger seat, then I think it's good fun. Yeah. But I think for the drivers, it can be quite tough.
So when I was used to have a Nokia, I didn't have to look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can still do that on an iPhone though, because you know your keyboard.
Yeah, but with the buttons, it is true. You don't have to.
It was so easy with the buttons. What, you memorised what, 12 buttons?
Yeah.
You knew exactly what text or character was on that button.
Yeah.
Then you knew all the shortcuts.
So, what's that triggered this, do you think? Has there something happened? Or
so what is the story? So what's happened exactly then?
Yeah. It's basically just an article about how a lot of car manufacturers are starting to sort of pull back from installing all of that technology into the cars. It sounds like it's actually quite cheap to do like a tablet sort of vibe, which is maybe why people have been so like keen to go that direction. But like in terms of safety, it's one study by the AAA Foundation concluded that infotainment touchscreens can distract a driver for up to 40 seconds, which is long enough to cover half a mile at 50 miles per hour.
And run like loads of people over.
Yeah, you shouldn't be using
your Okay, dear, I've got the air conditioning sorted.
But I mean, I guess it's just an interesting thought because, you know, if you are in the market for a new car, though, even though all of this is there, would you not then opt for a car with buttons, or would you still want to be, oh, well, like it's the height of technology and therefore I want the biggest.
Well, as I say, like when you get in a Tesla, it just feels very neat. There's no extra buttons anywhere. It just seems really, really nice. There's like Mary, what's her name? Mary Quant, but sort of like namaste vibes in there. Like good.
Oh, Marie Kondo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It feels clean and tidy and quite nice. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a choice thing, isn't it? I don't think either will probably go away. It'll just be more consumer choice of like, I want the button model.
There is
like
much
manual
choice
versus.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just there'll be more choice in the future. Yeah.
Even with like phones, you really can't find phones with buttons now. So it's almost like wipe that choice out because it's all there is. It's like touchscreen stuff, isn't there? So
yeah.
Speaking of choice, I think that leads nicely onto my story.
Okay.
Choices that rich people make. Stupid choices that rich people make because a lot of them have more money than sense.
This is speaking from someone that's not rich, clearly. So basically, Louis Vuitton have a new range, and it's the Art of Living collection. So it's a range of luxury sporting goods in particular. So this isn't like new for big designer brands to do. It's happened before. So like Chanel had surfboards, Dior had gardening kits, Gucci had chairs, but Louis Vuitton are doing specific sporting things. So they have a foosball table that is $87,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of the price points that you're looking at. Dumbbells for $2,500. Skipping ropes that are $810. That's literally rope and some handles. Their positioning is that, you know, they know their audience and they want to sell to this type of audience. They want high-end, like high-quality materials and like amazingly designed sporting goods. But I just thought it was quite cool because I quite like when designer brands that would only kind of do accessories like handbags and flashy things for like status to then start doing things that are deemed useful. So like the surfboards and like the chairs that they sometimes do. But then I'm also like, who's actually going to be using these things? Do you think people are going to buy them?
Does it not highlight though, like the sort of ridiculous status symbolness of it a little bit more?
Of course.
Or like a dumbbell, like which you can get off Amazon for whatever, 40 quid, yeah?
Yeah.
Which is practical, has a purpose, building muscle or maintaining muscle. Why would you need, how much did he say it was for their dumbbell?
$2,500.
You're just a dickhead.
Yeah.
You're just a dickhead if you buy that. I'm sorry.
There's even like basketball hoops that they did like in collab with NBA for like $7,000.
I'm just wondering what the status symbol of seeing a Louis Vuitton dumbbell is. Like, what does that mean?
Louis Vuitton is still a very big status symbol thing. Maybe not necessarily here, but I know in Asia, it's an absolutely massive thing. And I think even back in the day, like it was like 1 in 3 women in Japan had like a Louis Vuitton bag. Like it was that crazy. So I think it's still very elite. And so if you go to a yoga class with your Louis Vuitton exercise mat, like I think you'd still get people that
But I think it's going to be a mix of people though. It's people that are so rich that they are going to buy it and just use it how we would use a normal item that's useful. Or there are going to be people that are like, you know, they're still pretty wealthy because they're going to be buying it, but that is for
I think that there's an old money, new money thing in this.
Sure. People like, are going to use it because to them it's not that expensive and it's just like a normal, oh, Louis Vuitton have released something new, I'm going to buy it and it's useful. Or people that are kind of really excited by it and want to show that they're rich and they love the brand are going to have it almost just to show. They're never going to use it. It's just going to be like in their house. They've got like a foosball table or like a ping pong bat or something like that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I like the foosball table, like I can appreciate that just a little bit more because it feels quite crafted. The thing with high fashion is to appreciate it, you have to understand it as having a convergence with art in my mind. So you can see it as actually going, no, this is actually a cultural piece that explains something of society. Yeah, that's what fashion.
But
when
you know
looking
for
at
a fact that's not what they're doing in this case, is it?
Maybe a foosball table, yeah, but a fucking dumbbell. No, dickhead.
You know what? I bought one for you. I'm gonna return it now.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Your 50th birthday present.
There's a jump rope for nearly $1,000.
Yeah, I said that's a jumping rope. Just for some rope and a branded handle.
Quite literally.
Like, it does look cool.
It does look cool, I'll give them that, but it's just too ridiculous. These are items which you don't need to spend fucking thousands and thousands on when...
But you could say that about handbags. Do people need to spend thousands of pounds on a handbag?
Yeah, true. I don't know. This just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, like, the foosball table looks cool. The pool table looks cool. But I'm not going to be spending 140k on a pool table anytime soon.
Is it for us to be talking about in, like, has it done the job already? Is it a way of Louis Vuitton just getting more people to chat about Louis Vuitton? As a, you know, a PR piece,
I don't think so, because so many brands come out with like new ranges of stuff they sidestep. So clothing brands will have their like home ranges and things like that, right? Designer and even like high street brands. So I just think they've thought, oh, we don't have homeware, let's create an Art of Living collection. People are going to buy it. We have like a really big and loyal customer base.
Yeah.
And they'll buy it.
Yeah.
It's just money making. I don't think it's as like tactical as we think it is in terms of it being like them trying to make a point or trying to create hype or anything. I don't think it's that.
Yeah.
Isn't that like with like Supreme and stuff? You just put a Supreme logo on and people will buy it. Like, isn't the example of like they put it on a brick and then it sold out?
It's just that exactly it. It's kind of like maybe not as much of a cult following with Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly readily available.
Yeah.
Like, Alicia's scrolling on the website, adding things to her basket now.
I reckon in some circles, I'd say that Louis Vuitton has a cult around it. Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, well, anyway, I won't be buying it.
Chris, will you be buying it?
Absolutely not.
Alicia?
If I win the lottery.
Yeah, I think if I'm...
Oh my God, do you know what?
Right,
you're more likely to buy Louis Vuitton dumbbell, than you are to go to space.
Yeah, no, exactly.
at the pool table, it's more expensive than going to space.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
But again, it's materialistic things versus like experiences. Like that just kind of shows it, doesn't it?
Just even if I did have the money, I just couldn't see myself pulling the trigger on any of this.
Well, not the money to either go to space or buy Louis Vuitton Art of Living collection. So I think that's that, really.
Yet.
We've won all these awards now. We're gonna get loads of new beers. Yeah. We're gonna be rich.
That bonus is gonna be sweet.
Thanks for listening, whoever listens. And if you want to read the newsletter to see what James picked before he left, you can find it at zacagency.com/cool-sht. But yeah, thanks Alicia, thanks Chris, thanks guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.